Welcome to chapter 88 of Memoirs of a White Guy. Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed the guest episode last week with my good buddy Josh Wade. I hope you took something away from that chat, whether it was something about business, motivation, grilled, how much the grilled burgers suck. Whatever you took away from that, it was a good chat. I'm back this week and we have a lot to catch up on. I mean, I just realized now that I still can't speak properly. My voice is still gone. I had a big weekend this weekend, which hasn't helped. My ears are blocked, I can't speak, and my eye is still cooked from the surgery. So I'm down almost 3 senses. Talking's not really a sense. But anyway, it's not affecting. I'm down 2 senses and the ability to talk. I'm down hearing, vision. I can still touch myself, which is great because I've been wanking in the dark all day. No. What are the 5 senses again? Oh, this is going to be some stupid thing now where I realize that I can't actually name the 5 senses. It's hearing, seeing, touching, tasting. And I is there another one? I'm going to have to Google it. What? Or maybe there's 4 senses. What are the 5 senses? Smell. imagine if you're a new listener to this podcast. You're like, I don't listen to this dickhead. He doesn't even know the 5 senses of the human body. Anyway, I'm down 2 senses. But I'm still trekking along and I can't speak as well. The reason why I can't speak is because, the weekend was a big one. You may have seen on social media and stuff that we had our last Triple M Modern Digital show on Friday. And if you listen to that show, whether it was on the podcast or even more so live, you'll know that it got pretty loose. And then afterwards, we all went out with Reese and a few of his friends and ended up being quite a late one. It was one of the most bizarre nights of my life. Like, if you had have told me just 6 months ago when we were doing the goodnight dance on Instagram stories, if you saw that at the time, in, like, October last year, that I'd be going out, hitting the town with Reese Maston, I wouldn't have believed you. But, man, he's an awesome bloke. And it was so... One thing that was incredibly rude, and I didn't support this, but we're at a pub down the road from the radio station, and our producer James on the show organized with the people in the pub to play Good Night through the pub speakers, and it just blasted so loud. And then, I mean, I was pretty drunk at this time, so I lost my shit, right? Lewis lost his shit. Everyone was going nuts. By the end, 40 people in the pub were just fist bumping to Good Night, and even Reese, Reese hid under the table, but yet was still fist bumping under the table. So anyway, it was a big weekend, and then I went out again Saturday night because I had a mate's birthday, so that's why I can't talk, and I need to, I'm going to calm down a bit because I need to be able to speak. That's literally my job. It's the only thing I do is talk, and I'm already down 2 senses after the eye surgery, and I don't know why, I just can't hear still. anyway, the eye surgery. Need to catch you guys up on that. Thank you all very much for your lovely messages during the week. Oh, Luke, how's your eyes? I mean, I got like 2. So 2 of you are really nice. The rest of you can fuck off. the eye surgery went well. So if you're new to the podcast, I guess go back to listen to the episode where I think I talk about that I'm blind. But I had eye surgery where I was told before I went into the surgery that it was a 95% success rate. It's quite a new surgery. It's only been around for 10 years. It's called cross-linking, and it's where they kind of scrape off a bit of your eye, add some eye drops, and you stare at an ultraviolet light for like 30 minutes, right? It sucked. I'll get into that later, but guys, I'm not part of the 5%. I'm part of the 95%, and someone did send me a message during the week saying, dude, I don't know why you're surprised. You're like the most basic guy on planet Earth. Of course you're part of the 95%. Like, you are the 95%, just you. You're the everyman. And I was like, right, I don't know why I was worried. I mean, I'm too basic to be part of the 5%. You got to be too much of an individual. But yeah, Surgery went well. Man, it sucked. It just was so shit. Like, it wasn't... Okay, that's a bit dramatic. It wasn't the worst thing to have ever happened. Like, it wasn't as bad as the Holocaust. That was worse. I mean, I wasn't there, but it sounded a lot worse. But it was probably the worst thing to ever happen to me. Which isn't saying much. Like, I'm white. I mean, this is memoirs of a white guy. That just means it was pretty shit. But, because, you know, I've had a privileged upbringing and very little to no turmoil in my life to complain about. Yet, I have a weekly podcast dedicated just for that. And that says a little something about me, doesn't it? I'm a prick. but, yeah, it sucked. It was really uncomfortable. I can't even touch my own eyeball. So I get in there. I'm like super nervous. And she's like, yeah, it'll be fine. We'll put some numbing eye droplets on you. You won't be able to feel it. But I had to be conscious during the surgery. Because if you're unconscious, if you're under like local or general anesthetic, your eyes will roll back to the back of your head. And they can't operate on your eye. So you have to be conscious. Which means you can hear and see, literally see them operating on your eye from the eye that they're operating on. It's like if you're getting your wisdom teeth out and you're not, I mean, I got knocked out for mine, but Emily was like awake during hers, my girlfriend, and she's like, I could like taste them in my mouth. Like, you don't want to be able to experience what's happening to you in a surgical way with the part of the body that they're operating on. It was no good. When they scraped the bit of my eye, and I was worried about the scrape, because you never want to hear scrape and then your eye in the same sentence, right? So I was super worried about this scraping element, but it was kind of cool. I mean, they were right. I couldn't really feel it. I could feel it, but it was more like an itch or a tickle, and because it was completely numb my eye, and it was like a little windscreen wiper just going over my eye, and that was pretty cool. But the one thing that pissed me off during the whole thing, so they put a rod in my eye, like they clipped my eye open so I couldn't blink for 30 minutes. So they just kept lubricating my eye so my eye didn't go like freaking mental and spasm and like and go really dry. The one thing that pissed me off during it was, the first thing was that they taped my eyelashes back to my face. That's like torture. Like, imagine if, like, someone just was like, hold still, and then just started ripping tape and shoving it on your face. I mean, it was a bit more delicate than that, but that's what it felt like. I felt like I was being abused. And they taped back my eyelashes, shoved a rod in my eye, and was like, all right, don't move for 45 minutes. Yeah, sick. Cheers. I'll just sit here. Right? I got to listen to my tunes in one ear, which was, I guess, it didn't help. I mean, it was just, I couldn't stop thinking about, like, I'm putting all my trust in this guy, in my hot doc, who's not so hot anymore, in my doc that's lost it, right? It's like, dude, you're not even hot anymore. How can I trust you around my face? I can't even trust you around your own face. And I'm literally putting all my trust in this guy to not stab me in the eyeball and make me blind forever. So I'm sitting there with my eye pinned open, like, against its will. You know when you see, like, UFC fighters and they're down for the count and they're, like, just a bit, like, they're struggling to get out but they can't? That was my face just on the back of the chair. I was like, I don't want to be here, but I have, I've literally got no choice, right? Then they're halfway through the surgery, all seems to be going well, and the doctors start discussing what they're going to do next, but not, like, agreeing, like, oh, and the next step, we do this. They started arguing about what they should think. So the main doc was arguing with his assistant going, now I think we should apply this, whatever it was, like, I don't know, like exclimon, whatever, like fluorinic proposis or whatever they call it. I don't know what the eye drop was called. It's some nerdy name, right? I can't pronounce it. I can't even pronounce Peugeot, okay? Like, I'm going to be able to pronounce an eye droplet, right? So they started discussing when they should drop the eye droplet in my face at what time, because that affects the surgery, right? If you do it at the wrong time, it can fuck your eye forever. And I'm just sitting there. I can hear everything they're saying because I'm fucking conscious. And they're just going, I think we should do it now. And the assistant's like, I don't know. The data suggests that we should probably wait like 2 more minutes and then we'll put the droplet in. And he's like, I don't know. I mean, the data I've read. And I'm like, hey, guys, now's not the time to be discussing this. Now's not the time. You could have had that conversation maybe in medical school with your professor when you learnt how to do this. Now, when my eye's pinned open, it can't move, my eyelashes are taped back, and I'm pinned on a table, is not the time to be like, fuck, what did the textbook say again? No joke. And because it's such a new surgery, they legitimately, even the professionals, legitimately don't know the exact right amount of time to put this eye droplet on. They're just kind of working off data from past surgeries. And it's a type of thing where people have been going to me now, like, oh, is your eye fixed after your surgery, right? Is your eye fixed? No. It was never to fix my eye. The surgery was to prevent my eye from further depreciating in vision, like for getting shitter and shitter, because my eye just was getting blurry and blurry over time. So this surgery I've had does not even fix my eye. It just prevents it from getting worse. That, what a waste of time. Right? So they don't even know how long it's going to work for. They're like, oh yeah, we think it works for 10 years. I'm like, yeah, because the surgery's 10 years old. Like, think about that. In 2007, this surgery wasn't a thing. Like, I remember going to the 2006 Commonwealth Games, and this wasn't a thing. What was happening in 2007? Like, how was that not a thing? I'm pretty sure, like, Chris Brown was already a thing before this surgery. Dude, the number one single, it doesn't even seem like that long ago. Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend was top of the charts before this surgery even existed. I don't know about you, but whenever I get surgery or get a medical thing done, I always check with them and say, hey, was this around before Avril Lavigne dropped Girlfriend? And then they'll be like, yeah, of course. And I'll be like, oh, thank God. That's usually my rule. But this one, I went in completely in the dark. And I was like, well, what about Fergie's Big Girls Don't Cry? Like, no, that was also before it. Fuck, man. People were jamming out to Apologize by Timbaland. If you haven't worked it out, I've Googled the top 40 in 2007. But you get the idea. It wasn't that long ago. So I'm freaking out. The doctors are discussing, oh, let's buddy do this and this. And I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're doing. But I can't say that because if I move, you'll fuck it up even more because you got things in my eye. So I have to sit there completely still going, this is the end. I've been seeing's fun. I'll remember it forever. And I guess I'll just, this is my life now. I'm blind. But then, yeah, it was successful. And I had to wear these compulsory speed dealers, sunnies, for like 48 hours. And I had to walk down like Royal Parade, which is like a really busy street in Melbourne, for like a kilometre and a half back to my car because my mum drove me because I couldn't drive. So I'm walking back with mum, and mum's like, oh, we walk past a sign that says like no standing or some shit. And mum's like, oh, this is after I've come out of like an hour of traumatic eye surgery. I'm wearing speed dealer sunglasses, like servo sunnies, which I don't want to be seen with in public. And mum goes, oh, Luke, You should film a You Don't Own Me. Oh, cheers, Mum. Oh, great feedback. Not, how's the surgery? How does your eye feel? Oh, hey, my second son. Hey, hey, arguably the one person who I love almost most in the world. You should do a meme right now. Cheers, Mum. But I didn't do a You Don't Know Me, alright? It's over, guys. Even when I'm in the right situation and I'm compulsory wearing speed dealers. But yeah, that was how the eye surgery went, guys. A few people have been asking me, and it was just a bummer because they were clearly winging it, and that just threw me off the whole time. I was like, you guys have no idea what you're doing. Pretty much, I just could have got anyone to do it. Anyway, that was the eye surgery. I'm alright again now. I found out afterwards, this was a blow. I found out a week later, so literally like last week, I found out that I won't be able to see the same again for about 6 months to a year. They told me like 2 to 3 weeks before I went in there. They're like, yeah, your vision will be a bit blurry, but after 2 to 3 weeks, it will go back to normal. week after surgery, they go, oh, by the way, we probably should have mentioned this. You won't be able to see properly out of your right eye for about 6 to 12 months. Oh, sick. Just walking around guessing like a dickhead. Awesome, thank you. Fucking hell. Anyway, my life sucks. My ears aren't working, but I don't know why. Anyway, my sense of smell, touch, and taste are on fire right now. They're the only thing that's keeping me through. Now, next thing I want to talk about is Kanye West. I feel like I used to talk about Kanye West a lot on this podcast, and then he went off my radar. Well, he just went off the grid for a bit. But if you have been following what's happened to Kanye, then I don't know, you've been living another planet. But essentially, like, he's dropped this new album, and he took the photo of the album cover on the way to the launch to the album on his iPhone. So he took the album cover picture on his phone on the way to the launch of the album. That's the most Kanye shit I've ever heard. That's incredible. I can't get over that. Do you guys remember when Kanye West was like just this rapper that people talked about? And now he's like ascended into this like... He's like ascended into like a part of culture now. Like, he's not even Kanye West anymore. He's just Kanye. He's like Seal. He just has one name. And he's not even like... People don't really view him as like a serious musician anymore. They just like kind of... He's like this guy from Twitter who everyone talks about. But I fully remember when like everyone was like, yeah, there's this dope new rapper. And it was like, Touch the Sky, Gold Digger, Stronger. Like when he dropped Graduation, he was just like this rapper. And he was like, oh man, Kanye West interrupted Taylor Swift. What the fuck? At the VMAs. And now like he makes news. Like the other, like 3 weeks ago, that same guy who was just known for rapping went into TMZ and was like, slavery is a choice. What the fuck? What happened? How did we as a society let that dude just get to that level in his career? Where an African American can run in to a room full of white people and yell, slavery was a choice. Do you know how uncomfortable I would have felt being a white American in that room? Being like, ah, man, I mean, like, it wasn't. I was pretty against what they did, but that's, if you actually Google the definition of slavery, it's doesn't say at any point in the definition that you can opt in and opt out. It's definitely forced. There was no like, hey, man, do you want to build a train track for 300 years? With you and four other generations of your family? Yeah, I'd love to. That sounds great. Can you put me in chains? Awesome. Thank you. I don't know what kind of... I don't know, like, how you can get so misinformed. Like, I know Kanye's rich. I know he has an internet connection at home. How do you think he tweets all that bullshit? You can just Google it, man. Was slavery a choice? I'm feeling lucky. And then it's just a web page that says, fuck no, moron. Man. So anyway, what I want to talk about, his new album. So Kanye drops this album, which by the way, I found out after he yelled out slavery is a choice and it made headlines or whatever, he scrapped the album. And then he wrote an entire new album in 30 days. No wonder he rushed the album cover. He was like on the way and was like, just take a photo of anything. Man, literally, if he had swiped one more left on his camera roll, the album cover could have been a cock shot. Just one that was supposed to go to Kim, and then it just was like, oh, fuck. Now it's on my album cover. Oh, well, dude, that would have turned some heads. A Kanye cock shot. That's going to be his next album. Just a picture of his dick. And it's going to be called something like... like, I don't know, just like some double entendre, like, coming, or something like that. But it will be like a dick that's not coming, and that'll be like the creative stance. It'll be like just like, he wouldn't even put it like a hard dick. He's the type of guy, if Kanye was going to send a dick pic, he would definitely just, he'd be the only guy ever to have the confidence to just send a floppy dick. just not hard. He'd be like, yeah, that's my dick. Dick pics are a choice. Dick pics are a choice, by the way. Completely different to slavery. Anyway, it said on the album cover, he references mental health a lot, and it turns out he has mental health conditions, and it says on the album cover, I think it says something like, I hate being bipolar, it's awesome, or something like that. I think, I hate being bipolar, it's awesome. So obviously, like, double entendre, like, you know, that he, clever, right? That's what it said on the album cover, and he talked about it in an interview, and he was like, I think every, so he was talking about being bipolar, and he's like, I think everybody's got something. But like I said on the album, I said it's not a disability, it's a superpower. That's like a Kanye West quote. Being bipolar is not a disability, it's a superpower. No, it's a mental condition. Like, it's... If it was, it's definitely not a superpower. It'd be a very shitty superpower. Like, you can imagine bipolar man... Like, bipolar man. Oh, no, even better. Bipolar man does whatever a bipolar man does or doesn't because he can't make up his mind. That's funny. Yeah. It's a sad guy. No, it's a happy guy. No, it's bipolar man. Coming to save the day. Oh, no, I'm not. Never mind, guys. Changed my mind. Imagine bipolar man on the job. You're like, bipolar man, the bad guys are getting away. Oh, all right. I think they went that way, and I'm excited to catch them. Oh, no, I'm not actually. I'm sad. It sounds dangerous. Are you coming? I'm not sure. All right, we'll have a think about it. No worries. I'm crying, but I'm smiling at the same time. Great job, bipolar man. Another criminal. Free rule of doing crime because you suck because it's not a superpower. That's my point. But bipolar, okay, you just can't. I'm so sick of this. Like, the I don't know, just people always like it's this PC culture is like, there's nothing wrong with having with being bipolar, by the way. But you don't want to come out and be like, no, it's actually a superpower because then people start going, yeah, it's awesome to have mental health issues. No. It's not a bad thing to have mental health issues, but it's important to seek help and speak out about it. Because if you, imagine if you're like really influential young dickhead, because they're out there, and you might think there's no one this stupid, but look at Kanye West, imagine his hardcore fans. They're sitting there watching, like listening to the album, right, going, oh my God, Kanye's like rapping, he's like, yeah, bipolar is a superpower. I don't know, I haven't listened to the album, but I'm assuming that's how it goes. He's like, yeah, ain't saying she's a bipolar digger, whatever. I don't know. He's like, bipolar's a superpower. You'd be like, oh my God, I was going to go to a counselor tomorrow, but now that Kanye said I'm a superhero, I'm going to go outside and crack the shits at my mom and then apologize 2 seconds later. I'm a superhuman now. I'm a metahuman. No. Just go see a therapist. Talk to a friend. Seek professional help. Not fucking Kanye West, right? A dude who is like, has been in and out of psych wards. I mean, there's nothing against Kanye, but like, dude, you just get your shit together. And, he also came out, there's another one I read, I was trying to find it. Oh, yeah. The rapper said, despite the anger directed at him, he feels like a family member of the world. That's the reason why the world won't let me go, because I'm a family member, West said. They might disagree with me on certain shit, but I'm their family. I've been here for 15 years, 18 years. Well, make up your mind, dude. Was it 15 or 18? But he... I don't know about you, but me and Kanye... I mean, you know what? I didn't know that. Me and Kanye are family now. I had no idea. Did you guys know that? You guys are actually... If you're a part of this world, so obviously any extraterrestrial life listening to the podcast, you're excluded. I apologize. But any humans from the world listening, Kanye West is your brother or sister. I don't even know what gender he is anymore. He's a unicorn, right? He's Kanye. He's like a new gender, right? Kanye's a family member. I can't wait to have Kanye over for Christmas this year. It's going to be awesome. Like, Kanye, teach me some more superpowers. Oh, this one's called depression. All right, it's not funny to joke about mental health, but it is funny to shit on Kanye West. So I'm really torn right now, you know? It's like, ooh. Well, I mean, put it this way. Kanye West is my only family member that is pro-Trump. And you know what I mean? Like, it just came as quite a shock. I was reading this article. I never knew that I was related to Kanye West. And he's come out and said, I'm a family member of the world. I was like, oh, great. You're not in any of my family photos at home. Do I Photoshop him in the back? Will he feel excluded next time mum invites him over? I mean, I don't even know if he likes my mum's casserole. It's kind of like a kidual family tradition. And if Kanye doesn't like it, then it's like, I don't know. Shaz's casserole's second to none. But anyway, that's news, guys. So I guess Kanye, if you're watching this, welcome to the family. If you're listening on iTunes, hey, leave a review, man. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 5 stars on iTunes, help me get in the charts, bro. And also tweet about my potty, man. But Kanye, if you're listening, I guess welcome to the family, man. It's great to have you on board. I never knew I wanted another brother, but I guess I guess you're welcome. I'm not sure if you're going to get my dad's approval. I'm pretty sure he thinks you're a wanker, but hey, I'll invite you in with open arms. Maybe if you just drop that slavery shit and stop speaking your mind on Twitter, then you'll be all welcome. So anyway, guys, just thought I'd let you know that Kanye is now in your family too. I guess we're going to have to start a bit of a pecking order at who gets, you know, Kanye, which, you know, maybe I could get him at Easter. One of you guys could get him at Christmas. I don't really know how it's going to work. You know, someone gets a cousin's birthday. I'm not sure if he'll hit up any 21st because he's now got a lot of 21st-year-old family members. So he's going to be a busy guy with family commitments. Does that mean I'm also family with Kim Kardashian? I'd rather not be. I'd rather just... You can have... Yeah. You know what? Maybe being Kanye West family member isn't a great... Because then you're technically linked to the Jenners of the world. And I don't know if you want that. All right. Those are my thoughts on Kanye. I just thought it was so interesting. I have a lot of emails to catch up on, guys. So I guess we'll try and smash through a few... the first one, this is what just like, I've got a few real bizarre ones this week. This one is just from Emma. It's very short. It says, and by the way, you can email the podcast anytime, luke.kidgel@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, you want some life advice, I'll give you some shitty life advice. So pretty much if you've hit rock bottom and literally have no other place to turn, I'm your guy. I'd love to hear from you. This one's from Emma. She's clearly hit rock bottom, but she's just given me a thought. It's not a question. Hey, Luke, has anyone ever told you that you look like Luke Hemmings? Look him up. And I did look Luke Hemmings up. He's the lead singer of 5 Seconds of Summer. He's way better looking than me. All right? He's a lead singer of one of Australia's most successful, I'm going to say, not boy bands, but like, you know... girls like him, I would say, you know, I guess they're a rock band, right? Pop rock band, you know, he's the front man. I'm looking at photos of him now, I'll just look him up. He looks nothing like me, Emma. Like, I think Emma's on meth, guys. I mean, I'm sorry, Emma, but fucking paint your eyes on, mate. This guy has a real chiseled face. I mean, if anything, it's such a compliment to me. But he's blonde. He looks nothing like me. Like, this dude looks like, I don't know what he looks like. He just looks, I mean, I'm not blonde. He's blonde. So, I don't know where you've just said that because I've got the same name as him. We share the same first name. Cool, man. Pretty common first name. So, I'm sorry, Emma, but I look like every guy ever except Luke Hemmings from 5 Seconds of Summer. I actually look like the other three members of 5 Seconds of Summer combined. If they were like all like way out, oh no, there's one of them who's not that attractive. So like, I guess, yeah, I'm like all of them meshed together, but with like maybe a little less attractive. But I'll take that. That's like still a pretty good compliment. I guess thank you, Emma. I just don't agree with you on that one. This next one, Not sure. Oh, this person wants them to keep them anonymous. Not a monominous. Anonymous. So I'm going to call them... what should I call them? Kanye. All right? Hey, Kanye. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to the family. Hey, man. This is from Kanye West. Love your shit. And the show was great this year. Thanks for coming. Dude, I didn't know that Kanye came to my show this year. Maybe it's a different Kanye. I have a problem and I don't know what to do because I can't tell my friends. Please keep me anonymous. No worries, Kanye. Shall do. So I'm in year 10 and a girl, just so we're clear. Yeah, there's been a lot of confusion about genders before, so always clarify what gender you are because I'm an idiot and I sometimes give advice perhaps that should have been more for a male and it's a female and I look like a bit of a goose. So thank you for clearing up, Kanye. So never knew Kanye was okay. Well, maybe we should change it to more of a girl's name then. Oh, your name's Kim now, all right, because she's a girl. And there is a guy in year 10. Oh, sorry. So I'm in year 10. Oh no, wait. I've already read this one. Okay, this is Felicity. This is getting confusing now, guys. This is a follow up email. So I answered this question 2 weeks ago, I think, or maybe 3 weeks ago. Where a girl called Felicity said there was a guy hitting on her. You might remember it if you didn't listen to the podcast. Essentially, this guy was like pretty much harassing Felicity. And by the way, that's not a real name. That's another anonymous name. And he was saying, come on, send me nudes. And he wanted to obviously go further with her sexually. And she was like, hey, I don't want to. I feel like I'm being a prude though. I don't know what to do, but I really don't want to. And I think my advice was you should... chop off his dick. No, that wasn't it. You should rip out his balls. I told her, Felicity, rip out his balls. Put them in an airlocked bag. Dig a hole. Then, quite a deep hole, like enough to plant. Then plant the ball sack, the balls, the testicles in the hole. Cover it up with dirt. Fertilizer, water, and a lot of sun for about 2 to 3 weeks. Wait till that shrub starts to grow up. And then it'll be like a little tiny little, you know, white boy year 10 cock growing out of the ground. And then when you think that, I told Felicity, she think that's a little homegrown cock is, you know, sprouting and ready for picking, chop it off again. Then put it, serve it on a platter, go back to school in about a month's time and force feed that fuckhead his own dick was my advice. And... now I have a follow-up email. So that's where we left off last time. I'm looking forward. It has been 3 weeks, so probably enough time to sprout a dick. Let's see if she took my advice and ripped off that dude's ball sack. So this is the follow-up from Felicity. I'm so excited. I very rarely get follow-ups on the podcast, so I love it when people actually bother to send in how the situation went. Hey, Luke, it's Felicity, as you called me in your podcast. I thought I would just let you know what went down with the guy wanting to sleep with me and your advice about the balls and digging a hole and planting them. So there's a reason I'm using a different email this time. It's because with the other email, it was my school one and something on the computer detects swear words and I said shit and pussy. Ah, so she said, hey man, love your shit at the start of the last one. So I got flagged by the school. Awkward. Because I'm pretty sure you, like, confessed everything, that this guy was, like, pretty much a borderline rapist. So, I mean, you said nothing wrong in your email that could get you in trouble with your school. You were just very open and honest and mature about it. So, congrats, Felicity. I go to a school... anyway, so... I go to a school with 200 students, so everybody knows everyone and everybody's business. Ah, smaller school. I can't really relate to that. I went to quite a big school. So the school picked up the email and the IT person sent it to my deputy principal. Also, a teacher for one of my classes. And then he sent it to our guidance counselor. Halfway through lunch, she pulled me into her office and asked me all about what was happening. So I told her, and it turns out the guy was doing this to other girls as well, not just me. So they were going to deal with it later on in the week. But in the last period of school, the boy harassed a female teacher. He ended up needing a meeting with his parents and the deputy principal, guidance counselor, and the harassed teacher. Dude, this guy harassed you and a teacher. What a prick. I hope someone's force-feeding this guy a cock. Oh, I'm going to be very disappointed. He denied everything that happened, and he blocked me on Snapchat. Oh, what a dog. Which is how he was talking to me. Well, the next day, he confessed to the guidance counselor, and halfway through first period, she walked into my class, took me into her office. Once I got to her office, there was a boy sitting in the room, and he was forced to apologize me. Oh! Thought I was about to say forced to eat his own dick. I got really excited then. That would be a great school discipline, wouldn't it? If teachers would just started implementing that. You know what? You'd have less sexual harassment in your school if everyone knew the consequence was eating your own dick. That would stop sexual harassment full stop. Instead of like, oh, violence against women, Australia says no. Yeah, that's a good slogan. But what about violence against women? Australia says eat your own cock. That's a lot stronger. Because then so with everything that went down, I would have way preferred your method of ripping the balls off and burying them than letting it grow a dick and telling him to eat it or something. But anyway, that's how it ended up. Sorry for this long email. Hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully it all made sense. Cheers, the very obvious female. Thank you very much, Felicity, for following me up. I'm glad it all worked out well for you. Perhaps the advice in the future, and I think what I told you at the time, would have been tell someone about it and tell him to fuck off. I guess, you know what, at the time, I think I told you to bring it up to him. And I guess I didn't realize the severity of the situation and how creepy this guy was. And now it's very obvious that the appropriate thing to do would have been tell the school. Because obviously this had been happening to other people as well. So I guess it's like a bit of a Bill Cosby sitch. No one was speaking out. But you gotta. And then that bloke's career is going to be over. So, well done, Felicity, for, you spoke out to me, and then that made it get flagged by your school, so in the end, the advice would have been, I guess, yeah, go straight to the school, and, it sounds like that resolved it. I'm glad your email got flagged with me, because, me force-feeding his own dick perhaps wouldn't have been as effective, and, that dude's gonna be fucking spewing that I've got this podcast, and then that's how he got done. But you know what? Serves you right, mate. And if I had it my way, you would be halfway down munching on your own urethra right now. So you got off fucking lucky. Thanks for emailing in, Felicity. This next one is a real person's name called Siggy. Not a fake name. Someone named their kid Siggy. So you can imagine what their parents like to do 20 to 30 times a day. Siggies. Okay, first of all, you are funny as shit, and I wish you were my dad. So immediately, daddy issues, getting back to the Siggy name. Yes, my name is Siggy, pronounced like Siggy, as in cigarette butt. Good, thank you for clearing up any confusion. My question is, and this is the Siggy's question, word for word. My question is, what's the best way to ind a boyfriend in Melbourne? What is the best way to ind a boyfriend in Melbourne? IND. Now, Siggy, you may have meant to write what is the best way to find a boyfriend in Melbourne, but also I don't want to knock the possibility that IND could be an acronym, perhaps for something like identifying neck dampness. So in which her question would be, what's the best way to identify neck dampness, perhaps in a boyfriend in Melbourne? So firstly, Siggy, you would have to find a boyfriend in Melbourne in order to identify his neck dampness. My best way to find a boyfriend in Melbourne would be, I'm just talking to everyone these days, and it feels like everyone's meeting online. I mean, me and Emily met in high school. So I guess that's I'm not really on the dating scene, but most people I know are either still kind of dating people in loose friendship circles, like who we know locally or something like that, or online, like Bumble, Tinder. That seems like, I mean, I'm not great at giving this advice, but that seems like the best way to find someone these days. So I guess get on the Tinders, get on the Grindrs, whatever floats your boat. And yeah, that's how you find a boyfriend. But I'm assuming you wanted to know how to identify his neck dampness. So I would say, you could do it with the tongue. You could identify, if you dry your tongue off, then lick his neck. Make sure it's a dry tongue, or else you'll be contributing to the neck dampness. So one way you could identify a boyfriend's neck dampness would be to swab his neck and then put it under the Moisturizer Tester 3000, which, if you don't own one, is a product by IND, a local startup called Identifying Neck Dampness. They're a nice new local company that really specializes in this field, because obviously there's so many people like Siggy who are having quite an amount of trouble in identifying the neck dampness of their boyfriends. And if I'm assuming that there's a lot of girls or guys, you know, wondering about the neck dampness of their boyfriends. And I'm here to say is that as a boyfriend, I am a boyfriend right now, I don't think about it this much. Girls, I think you're overthinking. Usually I've got a pretty dry neck. I mean, right now I've got a bit of water in me. I could dab a little bit on right now. I'm just getting a little bit of water here and just, I've got a bit too much and now it looks like I pissed myself. All right, I've got a little bit of water in my hand. I'm just applying it to my neck. Now, this is an example right now of how you could identify this neck dampness. I'm just getting a little swab from my sleeve, right? Wiping it on my neck, and that's it. Neck dampness identified. There's a little bit of water on my neck, which you can see from the little swab I got on my jacket. There's a little damp patch there. So I would say that identification of the neck dampness, Siggy, would be positive. Just, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know if positive neck dampness is good. That's something that girls listening to this will have to fill me in on. I mean, girls, do you like a dry neck or a wet neck? Hit me up, luke.kidgel@gmail.com. Maybe we should have a poll in the Facebook group this week, in the Memoirs of a White Guy Facebook group. If you're not a part of that, by the way, join. It's a lot of fun. There's usually, I mean, it used to be multiple good memes a week. Now there's at least one good meme a fortnight in there. And so hang out for that. But yeah, maybe we could get a poll there in there this week. Girls and guys, what do we like better? Dry neck or wet neck? Let's do a dampness vote. So yeah, Siggy, I hope I've really helped you there in how to find a boyfriend in Melbourne. My best way would to be, I guess, feel his neck. And that's the only way you can really identify. And by the way, don't feel his neck with your skin if you think the dampness is from a poisonous toxin. You should be able to tell if it's acidic and it's eating away at his neck as he's sitting there while you're trying to identify the dampness. But yeah, if it's something like oil or kerosene causing the dampness on your boyfriend's neck, don't use a match to identify it. That could be detrimental to your boyfriend's neck. But anyway, I think I've covered off neck dampness just enough for this week. So if you guys have any more questions about identifying neck dampness, which is obviously now a cause I feel pretty strongly about, then yeah, hit me up, luke.kidgel@gmail.com. How do you identify neck dampness? I'd love to know your thoughts. And with that, I guess this is the end of the podcast, guys. Bit of a serious note to end it on with our neck dampness chat. But hey, that's the podcast sometimes. It's not always going to be funny. It's a comedy podcast, but, you know, it's got to be informative as well because it's a podcast. I like to keep it pretty educational. So that is the podcast, guys. I'd love it if you guys left a review on iTunes. And gave it 5 stars. We're in the charts again this week. I saw this podcast in the top 100, which is still pretty cool that we're still in the charts after, like, now, like, 2 years. Because usually, like, when your podcast is kind of oldish and it's not the new poppin' thing anymore, it tends to slip down. But we're hanging in there, guys, and it's growing and growing. So if you know any friends, not fens. If you know any fens, though, first of all, tell me what that is. But if you know any friends who you think might enjoy this podcast, then hey, I'd love to come. I'd love them to come on board. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I should just stop. I'm down two senses. I can't even speak. I should wrap it up. Before I go, though, a few things. One, I've ordered new merch. I've ordered 70 new t-shirts for Brisbane and Sydney people because we're all running very low, and I think some people have pre-ordered sizes that I didn't actually still have because we pretty much sold out after the Canberra show. And so thank you to everyone who's been buying the merch after the shows. I've bought more merch so none of you guys miss out because Sydney people didn't actually get a chance to pre-order it because the ticketing was done through the venue's website. Anyway, I've ordered new posters as well. So if anyone who is coming to my Brisbane and Sydney show is umming and ahhing about buying merch, please, please get it or I'm going to be financially in trouble and also going to have a lot of leftover shit. And by the way, if anyone still wants a You Don't Owe Me extra large t-shirt, I've got four left and they've been sitting in my bedroom. I mean, I slowly sell them. Like I might sell like one a month and I just ship it out to the person. So I think I had like 25 left at the end of the tour, 25 XLs, and now I've got 4 XLs left. So if you want an XL, head over to my website, bloody give it a purchase and I'll send it out as soon as possible. I'd love to get him out of my bedroom. Sick of looking at him. It's been about a year and a half. It's the only, and also there's still heaps of You Don't Owe Me posters left, but anyway. Cool. So if you want the new merch, the Because I Can merch from the shows, fuck, I'd love it if you bought some because I've just gone and bought a whole lot. I think I might have over-purchased because I still had a few. I think I've now got over 100 t-shirts to sell over two shows. But hey, I'm putting my faith in you guys. That's the end of the podcast, guys. The Brisbane and Sydney shows are not this weekend, but the weekend after. Holy shit, it's coming up. These are going to be the two best, I mean, I already know, the two best nights of my life, stand-up wise. Brisbane, we're doing two shows. It's the first time I've ever done two shows in a night on my tour, because you guys saw it at the first one. The second one has less than 40 seats left, so get on that shit. I think it's gonna sell out as well. It's gonna be two sold-out shows, probably, if you guys come along, in Brisbane. And then Sydney, less than 80 tickets left, and that's in a fucking theater. Holy shit, so thank you guys so much. I'm taping the Sydney show, so if you want to get down to the live taping, head over to my website or the Giant Dwarfs website. Sydney's going to be awesome. My buddy Joseph Green is coming to open both of those shows, which I'm super excited about. So, yeah, it's going to be hella fun. I'll see you guys there. And, yeah, for the rest of you, maybe try and identify your partner's neck dampness during the week and let me know how it goes. Cheers. Have a good one, guys. I'll see you next week.